Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
So, to take the action that you're suggesting as opposed to other actions which may be taken, and again, not going into what was in the shade meeting, the bottom line is you will likely put the city at greater, not less, legal risk than it stands in the current situation where it has brought a lawsuit which has been successful and probably stands to earn fees for what it has incurred.
All right. So I know the other day we spent a lot of time with Milton City Council, but Milton City Council never disappoints for drama. And that was Eric Mead, the other attorney who often serves as the city attorney, along with Alex Andrade. They're in the same law firm together. And just to catch you up to speed, if you haven't been paying attention, Mayor Heather Lindsay, all around the hiring and loss of Scott Collins, had made some, at least texts for sure, maybe some emails, lots of them, that are public records, and she had refused to disclose them. A judge has ruled. She was supposed to turn those over by Monday the 17th of this week. She did not. This is something that was originally pursued at the request of the city council, asking her for public records. She wouldn't give them. Alex Andrade said, please don't make me sue you many times. Eventually, the city had to actually sue in order to get those. And she has done everything she can to delay legally. The cost of this lawsuit for the city is about $36,000. But as you heard Eric Mead say, we are on the verge of winning this, have basically already won it in terms of the judge ruling that she owes public records. And if she owes public records, she's probably going to have to pay legal fees back to the city to compensate them. But with the new city council, who is more on her side, they have now voted in a shade meeting to drop this lawsuit against the direct recommendation of council, who says you'll put us at more legal jeopardy because now not only she but the city can be sued and almost certainly lose and probably have to pay somebody's legal fees. And they are public records, after all, raising the question of why haven't they been released if they're public records? The judge has said so. Also, why is the state attorney's office not involved in all of this or interested in all this? Time will tell. But then, in that same meeting, voting to drop the lawsuit, then you also had a vote to seek different counsel to basically get rid of Alex Andrade and Eric Mead and their firm, and then to find somebody else to do it. Well, the follow-up to that is that the Moorhill and Westmoreland not only they were basically told we don't want you anymore, but they are still the counsel for the city. They told the judge, we have been told to drop this lawsuit. We are compelled to withdraw from the pending court case for representation of the city of Milton. We are unable to lawfully comply with the directive given to drop this lawsuit. And we're filing appropriate papers with the court to the effect of removing us. As you know, we are engaged in our contract, and we can't do this and fulfill our legal obligations as lawyers. So they're now waiting to be allowed to drop from the lawsuit by the judge. In the meantime, Heather Lindsay's side has requested an extension of the production of the records because of all of the drama that she has created. And the follow-up letter after that is essentially explaining that this is, again, by Alex and Eric, is essentially explaining that there's no good reason for her to not produce these records, and there's no good reason for you to grant an extension. Defendant has not complied with this court's order to produce the public records found. Plaintiff seeks an appropriate sanction by the court to compel compliance with the order. So the city is still officially through them as asking for compliance. Plaintiff advises, that city council, advises the county that the city, the court, that the city has already received at least three public records requests for the records identified by the order as non-exempt public records. I haven't officially yet, but I will. I'll be four. In the order, the court requested certain records to be clarified to aid its review of them. And it gives an exhibit that has all of the records on it. This motion is to stay the court's or is sorry this the motion to stay her motion to stay the court's order lacks any colorable assertion of good cause. None. Plaintiff's decision regarding the conduct of litigation conflict it created for representation has nothing to do with the defendant's obligation to comply with statutory law and the order of this court to that end. So the stay request in this case is indefinite, dependent on matters over which the city has no control. The stay is supposed to be until some contingency occurs. Pardon me. Consequently, if a stay were entered in this matter, it could result in excessive delay, something not capable of being remedied, absent defendant's voluntary compliance with the Public Records Act. So they're saying to the court, look, she's still supposed to produce these records, and there's no good cause to stay that request as they continue to be the city's attorney until they get released from the court case. And now, following that, the Milton City Council has called an emergency meeting tonight. The emergency, that's all just build up to this. The emergency meeting tonight, the full agenda reads as follows. A special called meeting subject. Item number 2025-3117. Attorney-client relationships specifically regarding litigation and representation. That's the whole agenda. And you know how a lot of times there's like the agenda index and then there's the backup, which has all the relevant documentation you'd want if you're going to understand the issue they're going to be discussing. The backup documentation reads in its total. I'll read it to you. It's quite long, but I'll read it to you. Special called meeting subject item number 2025-3117, attorney-client relationship specifically regarding litigation and representation. No details at all. Absolutely none. The agenda overview and the backup are the same document with no information at all. Now, theory, what are they going to be trying to do tonight? I beg them to come back, apologize, change course, say it's ridiculous that you're trying to withdraw yourself from the lawsuit and also telling the judge that you can't comply with an order that you think is illegal. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do tonight, but it's going to be interesting. So follow along at your own peril. Oh, man. There's so much going on right now. We got the whole thing with the Chappie James Bridge stuff. We've got with the Tourism Development Council in Escambia County and the county commission going to take that up today. You got this stuff with the city of Milton. You got Navarro's going to put a toll on a bridge maybe. It's never boring. I mean, it's never boring. There you go. If you thought the City of Milton Melodrama Theater, Milton City Council Melodrama Theater was going to end, you bet wrong. 6:18 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
What's the time for the meeting?
Oh, it's
I knew.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Okay. There's a couple of other meetings relevant, like a work session stuff tonight, too. But this is specifically to discuss, the stuff.
Gotcha. Traffic on the 5 is brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with a new annual contract. Call Insect today. No accidents to let you know about right now. We're starting to see I-10, I-110 are looking good. But if you're on Highway 29 going northbound or southbound right at the 9 Mile Road intersection, you're going to start to see just minor delays there. Also, 98, seeing some slowdowns just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
You know, I hate to suggest this because it would wind up costing the city of Milton money. But at this point, it is such an open rejection of the law. Anybody could file a lawsuit. Like literally anybody could file a lawsuit and say and seek fees and would almost certainly win. Just to get all you had to ask is give me the public records that the judges said have to be disclosed. Anyway, we are in a very weird place. What is the county commission going to do today? I'll tell you about that coming up in just a moment. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home and you're wondering, where can I get great advice? Where can I get somebody who really understands this process and make sure that I get the best possible outcome? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're extremely good at this. You know, she started off in news. You know, for a long time she did news, and then started a family, and then decided, hey, I'll go into real estate. And those of us who knew Christina thought, well, if anybody can do it, she can. But a lot of people try real estate and it doesn't work out. Oh my God, talk about try and succeed, right? You know, hundreds of homes every single year, over 200 a year when it was like the easy times, just a little shy of 200 a year in the last couple of years. But again and again and again, she and her team at Levin Rinke Realty sell and succeed and sell and succeed and sell and succeed. It's amazing. So they will help you understand what the market's doing, help you make good choices about, you know, what to accept, what's normal, what's the right price, just all of that stuff, and make you have that great confidence that you're going to get the end result. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
At Pennair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pennair Credit Union, because at Pennair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pennair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pennair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When you have a good thing going, having two good things going is twice as nice. Bobby Likas Auto Service has been helping Pensacola service and repair their vehicles for years. Now Bobby Likas Auto Service has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. Same great service and reliable work. No matter if you're driving a truck, a luxury vehicle, or your family sedan, take it to the place thousands have done for years. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service, still on Davis Highway and now also on Pensacola Boulevard.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Pensacola Habitat for Humanity's Block Party and Open House is Saturday from 10 till 2 at their five new homes on Massachusetts Avenue. Everyone is invited to see the homes and learn more about the organization. See PensacolaHabitat.org. Saturday night, it's Military Appreciation Night with the Ice Flyers. Active, retired, and vets get 50% off for your whole party in person at the box office. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Lego my ego, please.
Good morning, 624 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It is cold today and going to be colder overnight. It's like freezing now, and it's going to be below freezing, a little bit below freezing overnight into tomorrow morning. That's why all the cold weather shelters are open. You've heard the question about the lifeguards at the Johnson's Beach and Fort Pickens for the Gulf Islands National Seashore. We're going to have Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety in Escambia County, on with us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk about that and a couple of other things. I could go 3 hours with Eric Gilmore, like A, because we get along so well, but B, because he's a good, great source of information, and I always have questions about public safety. Right now we have Traffic on the Fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands, expert installation, and 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. Starting to see more of a backup if you're on 98, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge going eastbound. Going to see some delays there. Also, let's see here. If you're going from downtown Milton into East Milton, you're going to see just a few minutes of a delay there. And we're still seeing delays at Highway 29 and 9 Mile intersection, both northbound and southbound. Those are just congestion, so be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. I mentioned before that I talk about the county commission meeting this morning in Escambia County. Chappie James Day is going to be designated, although it's passed already. I think it's February 11th is what they had it as. They're going to adopt a new stormwater ordinance, which is to the great delight, I'm sure, of Chris Kerb and the Flood Defenders folks, is supposed to update the rainfall data maps that they use for reference with regards to what's a 25, 50, 100, 200, whatever year storm to NOAA Atlas 14. That's great news. The one thing that I don't know whether to raise a stink about this now or later, but the part of the ordinance is which ponds do and don't have to have fencing around them. And it has to do with the slope of the side of the pond. You know, higher slopes have fences, lower slopes don't have to have fences. I will tell you my own opinion about this is I just don't think we should ever have fences around ponds. It's such a noticeable thing when, and this is because my wife and I go biking all the time. We're currently biking around like Alberta area, you know, Baldwin County, Alabama. They don't have fences around their ponds. In fact, they turn their stormwater ponds into amenities. They're pretty. They're cool. They're lakes or they're dry. But either way, they don't have fences. I wish we would do this here. They look so nasty. The chain link fence. Like there's one in right off of Sarah Drive, north of Hancock, right now that's being it's been a park and it's being turned into a stormwater project. It's a good stormwater project. It's a very good stormwater project, and they didn't have to take down all that many trees to make it happen. It's to improve drainage in that area. And I drove by there the other day, and I'm like, oh, this is okay. It's loss of some trees, loss of the park, but you don't have to lose the park because you don't have to put a fence around it. I mean, you do under their current ordinances, but you shouldn't have to. They should build this stormwater pond and not put a fence around it. And then the kids can still play in there if it's dry. And if it's wet, it's wet. And it's a lake. It's just, it is such a different visual thing when you're in Baldwin County and you drive past these subdivisions that have unfenced retention ponds that have fountains and they're pretty and they have grass. And then you come to Escambia and I think Santa Rosa, but especially in Escambia, you drive around and they just, God, they look horrible. I mean, they really look horrible. Plus you would solve the problem of, you know, getting access into those ponds for the, like, you know, public works folks. Cause you don't have to put in a gate. You just don't put in a fence and then everybody wins in my opinion. Anyway, they're also going to talk about the $1 million being appropriated for the SS United States, which has left New York and, is coming to be reefed off of Destin. They're going to put a traffic camera up at the overpass across from the Sailfish sign to look at Highway 98 traffic. That's a joint venture between the city of Gulf Breeze and the county. That's a good thing. They're going to talk about Chappie James Memorial funding. That's going to be interesting. And they're also going to talk about the county administrator's contract, Wes Moreno's contract. I don't know if that's going to be interesting or not. There had been some rumblings because Wes had kind of aligned himself so much with the former 3-majority vote on the commission. And now that Jeff Bergosh is gone, there's a new majority. And, you know, people had wondered what would happen. I don't know whether there's going to be that's going to be interesting or not. He might just get approved on a 5-0 vote. It might be discussions. I have no idea. And then also one thing worth noting is there is no conversation about OLF 8 at all on there, which is really interesting. But we'll talk about that at a different time. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
President Trump has signed an executive order that would eliminate federal funds for undocumented migrants. That order was signed yesterday, also directs federal agencies to ensure that no funds are being used to encourage illegal immigration. It's not clear which agencies will be impacted by the executive order. Hamas is giving Israel back hostages that have died. The 4 Israeli hostages were handed over today include 2 small children and their mother. Their bodies, along with another hostage who was in his 80s, was handed over as a part of an ongoing ceasefire deal between Israel and the Palestinian militant group. More people are trying to smuggle eggs across the U.S.-Mexico border due to the bird flu outbreak. Authorities say there's a 29% increase in eggs being confiscated at ports of entry between October 2024 and February compared to the same time last year. This comes as the price of eggs in the U.S. has surged, which has been attributed to bird flu. And that's what's happening.
But I have good news for you.
Oh, yeah?
Did you know we have a on-the-verge-of-solution for the bird flu crisis and the egg-producing chickens?
Okay. What is it?
Flu vaccine. I'm not even kidding. What? There's preliminary approval being sought for a avian flu vaccine. There's already some approval for an existing one. This would adapt it to this particular strain of the virus.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump's Russia-Ukraine envoy Keith Kellogg is in Kyiv to meet with President Zelensky about bringing the war with Russia to an end. And Trump's again calling Zelensky
a dictator without elections. Zelensky better move fast or he's not going to have a country left. Got to move fast because that war is going in the wrong direction.
The president at an investors conference in Miami. A judge in Idaho denies Brian Koberger's request to throw out DNA evidence in his quadruple murder case.
The defense arguing that Koberger's constitutional protection against unreasonable search and seizure was violated because his DNA was collected without a warrant. The judge found there is no reasonable expectation of privacy when it comes to evidence collected at a crime scene.
Jennifer Dowling with Fox 13 Seattle. Koberger is accused of stabbing four college students to death at a home in 2022. The trial set to start in August. America's listed to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 34 degrees and partly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. More than 1,000 National Park employees were let go this week as a part of the Trump administration's effort to reduce the size of the federal workforce. That included park ranger Jessica Krieger, who says half of her department at Fort Pickens was let go over the weekend. Krieger says probationary employees received an email saying they were being let go because they failed to meet the proper qualifications. Krieger says she took 30 courses and received certifications to qualify for that position. Gulf Breeze resident Randy Vail told Channel 3.
That would be pretty sad because, it's a national park. You know, why would they want to do something like that? I mean, it's people come from all over the country, even the world, to come down here, Pensacola Beach, and Fort Pickens is one of the sites they'd like to see. I'm a retired guy now, and you don't want to see anybody lose their jobs, especially in this area, so it's kind of sad.
Officials with the Gulf Islands National Seashore say they want to watch the park's social media. You should watch the park's social media pages for any changes they make in the park hours or the services. The SS United States is now on her final voyage. Yesterday, the ocean liner left the dock in Philadelphia. It's making its way to Mobile, which is expected to take a couple of weeks. Upon arrival, the vessel will continue its rebirth into an artificial reef as contractors remove hazardous material, including non-metal parts and fuel, to ensure the deployment is clean and not harmful to the environment that it aims to benefit. Modifications are also being made to ensure that when the vessel is deployed, it'll land upright underwater. And that preparation will take about 12 months. There is nothing like celebrating a Mardi Gras parade, then discover your vehicle was towed along the parade route. That scenario could play out for you if you happen to park in the wrong place for the downtown Mardi Gras parades. Pensacola is closing more streets this year to increase security. For the first time, the city is going to close Main Street for those parades. And if you're confused as to where you could park and where you cannot park and what streets will be closed, we posted a map on our News Radio Facebook page at News Radio 923. And we'll get an update from Pensacola Police Spokesman Mike Wood about those new parking rules at 7:38 on Pensacola Morning News. The 2025 Sun Belt Conference Men's and Women's Basketball Championships are returning to Pensacola next month. All 14 Sun Belt schools are going to compete on March 4th through the 10th in a single elimination tournament at the Pensacola Bay Center. The winner clinches an automatic bid to the 2025 NCAA Division I Men's and Women's Basketball Tournaments. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a chilly day today with temperatures in the 40s for highs, plenty of sunshine. Overnight overnight tonight, dropping back below freezing in the 20s. Waking up Friday morning, very cold with a high near 51 in the afternoon. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 38. Stay connected at Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, let's check it with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. We're starting to see a little bit of slowdown on I-10 eastbound as you approach the Highway 29 exit there. And also, if you're rolling through the Pea Ridge area in Pace, you're going to see some delays there. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, it looks like it's semi-clear or mostly cloudy. Depends on how you look at it. 34 degrees in Pensacola, 34 also in Gulf Breeze, and 35 in Milton at 6:35. The next news is at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
With the arrival of the all-electric Volkswagen ID. Buzz, there's a lot of excitement generating at P4 Imports on New Warrington Road. The highly anticipated new VW van brings the past back to life while aiming toward the future with bold innovation that promises to impress. Catch an ID. Buzz on your exclusive test drive today. And while you're there, check out the 2024 Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport. These full-sized SUV models are available with 1.9% financing for 60 months or up to $4,500 in customer discounts. And the 2024 Tiguan, VW's crossover, is available for 0% financing for a full 60 months or up to $3,000 in rebates. Peakmore Imports on New Warrington Road has the distinctive and innovative design that Volkswagen drivers love to drive home. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Peakmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Discounts are a standalone offer and not to be combined with special APR rates offered through Volkswagen Financial Services. Qualifying credit. Offers expire March 3rd, 2025.
It's always Sonny's here. This is Eldon with Sonny's Barbecue. When you're ready for slow smoke barbecue prepared by local pitmasters since 1968, it's always Sonny's. Visit us at 4 convenient locations in the News Radio area: Pine Forest, Navy Boulevard, 9th Avenue, and in Pace on Highway 90. With $10 big deals and all-you-can-eat ribs for only $19.99 every day. Kids eat free every Saturday, and don't forget that good old banana pudding, all served with a heaping portion of Southern hospitality. Open daily at 10:45. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
They will put it out. They will put it out. 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Escambia County Fire Rescue, Escambia County Emergency Management, Escambia County Medical Services, all of these and the lifeguards on the beach are domains within the fiefdom, the kingdom, the monarchy. I don't know. That is run by Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety in Escambia County. And by everyone's account, very well run. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, thanks for having me, sir.
You're welcome. All right, I want to get to the lifeguards and I want to get to EMS, but I did want to take at least a second and talk about how your agencies have had an extraordinarily boring month of January. I mean, you only had a tornado and a straight line winds, I think both. You had, Snowmageddon, and my God, the number of structure fires that we have had. I mean, the big news was the big, you know, the boat warehouse or whatever, but I was just looking at the most recent director's report for your agency and, you know, structure fire on Mallory, structure fire on North Pint, structure fire on Rambler, on Bruce Street. Like, loads of structure fires, unfortunately, in the month of January. I don't know where you want to start, but, man, your organizations have been pretty busy, unfortunately.
We have. January was pretty busy, but let's start with structure fires, and we'll work our way back.
Right.
We have had an increase in structure fires. Unfortunately, it's due to inappropriate heating sources. We did have that snap of cold weather, and during that cold weather, you know, inappropriate wiring of electricity and heating sources, inappropriate heating sources. But then we had that warming up a little bit, and then, of course, the structure fires kind of tapered off. But anytime it gets cold, people take chances with heating sources to try to stay warm, and we try to warn against that. Don't do that. And then we had the boat fire this past week. That was State Fire Marshal still investigating on what the actual cause was of that. And when you add a bunch of boats, a bunch of high-dollar boats that hold a lot of fuel, and, you know, every one of them's empty, right? So, you know, fuel, oil, and then fiberglass on top of it that burns hot and fast, it just makes a mess. And we had an outstanding response on that. And our mutual aid partners in City of Pensacola and Gulf Coast Services, appreciate them coming in and helping us out. And trying to get that fire under control. So
I mean, that was 10. Ten of your apparatus plus a bunch of others. I mean, I know this is maybe not the perfect comparison, but it kind of reminded me of how, like, every law enforcement agency in the local universe responded to the NAS Pensacola attack. That was kind of like the response to this massive warehouse fire, right? Just everybody came.
That's absolutely correct. It was all hands on deck on that one because it took a lot of manpower because you've got a potential collapse, so you can't really go in and attack the fire like we do aggressively.
Oh,
you have to
yeah.
do a defensive attack. So, and then when you get collapse on the metal, you've got to pull all that off to get to the source of the fire. It exacerbates the scene a little bit more versus just the residential. And on top of that, while we had all those units there,
Can I pause you for a second? Because I had not been thinking about this, and I'm so glad you mentioned it because it is.
Yeah.
So you can't go in because the roof can collapse. And also, you've got, let's say, boats, fiberglass, and oil, and fuel burning, and then when the structure starts to collapse on those, you have metal covering the source of the fire itself, which unfortunately doesn't extinguish it, or not fully, and so you have that additional challenge of even fighting the source of the fire. Did I hear you right? Am I thinking about this the right way?
You are absolutely thinking about it the correct way. It inhibits us from getting in there to the source of the fire. It was a red iron building with sheet metal skin, and it had to get really hot to warp that red iron and drop the ceiling on the boats and everything in there.
Wow.
So yeah, it does. Things like that really inhibit us from actually getting in there to the source of the fire and doing a quick knockdown on it. So.
And you had a tornado and a snowstorm.
Yeah, we had the tornado, the anomaly that happened last week. Dispatch called me, and we weren't supposed to have the inclement weather until the next day.
Right.
And they said, we're getting calls of a tornado in Ellison. And I said, guys, I don't have time for this. Quit playing around. And they,
right.
I hear a caller in the background. And sure enough, so I called up Travis and I called Scotland. I'll call Scotland. I said, Scotland, what are you seeing on radar? And Scotland thinks I'm playing with her, you know, our meteorologist. And she goes, there. And she calls Mobile Weather, and they're going, Scotland, we're not seeing anything. And sure enough, we get out there and take the pictures and send in the Mobile Weather, and everybody's like, okay, something happened here. So we had a good response on that. We had a lot of units there making sure we did damage assessment, make sure everybody was accounted for, had a lot of EMS resources there to make sure we took care of any potential patients, which we did. We had three. We transported two to the hospital due to debris, being hit by debris, and then one was treated on scene and refused. So,
yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I figured it'd be a zero at best, if anything, and it turns out to be a Category 1, which is, you know, wild.
I thought that too. I thought it would be EF0. It turned out to be EF1. So, yes.
And then you had the snowstorm from which everybody mostly had fun, including I saw the video of the fire truck driving through the snow in Perdido Key, which is kind of entertaining. So, again, it's a learning experience, and, you know, you grow from there. All right, so I want to get to the lifeguard thing because that's been the news of the day. Gulf Islands National Seashore says they don't have the money to pay you guys to contract with you to provide lifeguards at Johnson Beach and Fort Pickens. That seems like a big deal, but you tell me.
So, historically, back in the day, Gulf Islands hired their own lifeguards, and they did their own thing, and we did our own thing. So we handled Pensacola Beach and all the and Whitewater Beach and those areas like that. Then they was having issues getting lifeguards themselves. They said, look, you guys do this. You're in the business. Let's just contract with you, and you throw your manpower out there. I was like, great. We'll form a partnership and do that. So this year they don't have the money to put lifeguards on Johnson's Beach, Henderson, Opal, Langdon, those areas that the Gulf Islands National Seashore is in charge of.
Langdon is Fort Pickens over the wall, and Opal is down the way in the Gulf Islands between Navarre and Pensacola Beach, right?
That's correct.
Okay, go on.
So this year we will not have our lifeguards at Gulf Islands because they pay for our manpower. It's an extra cost on me if I had to put lifeguards out there. And what our budget for the county includes is Casino Beach, Whitewater Beach, and we've now included Perdita Key. So we will be out there at those locations that we typically cover in the that the county's responsible for. So we will be, as we are like clockwork, out there doing those things at those locations. But there will not be lifeguards represented at the Gulf Islands National Seashore in their parks this year.
Is it something, I did not see it on the commission agenda for today, but are you guys trying to seek the county to provide guards? Because even though it's you know, federal land, it's still kind of our territory. You know, we think of it that way. And I know having them in Perdido means that they're closer than they ever would have been before, but that's a long way from, you know, the station or the tower on county property out to the Johnson's Beach area. Same thing for Fort Pickens. You know, it's one thing to be at Casino Beach. It's another thing entirely to get all the way out to Langdon. Are you guys going to – are you seeking to have funding appropriated from the county to provide that coverage, or have you even had that conversation yet?
We have not had that conversation yet. We just found out Tuesday that this was taking place.
Okay.
So, you know, we're trying to – gather our thoughts and figure out how this is going to impact us. Because last year, Johnson's Beach has a lot of people on it. There's a lot of people who go out to Johnson's Beach, and to be unprotected is kind of concerning.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, we do have our guys at Perdita Key now. They're at beach access too. While it is far away, it's closer than it would have been if we hadn't had Perdita Key stood up.
Definitely.
So, you know, I'll get with Dave Greenwood. I'll get with AJ and Jake, and we'll sit down and talk about it and see if we need to beef that up a little bit more just in anticipation or go from there. But we have not had that conversation yet if the county is wanting to actually put lifeguards out there. So we'll work through that and see how that
And by the way, I'll give an after-the-fact kudos to, you know, I sort of said some criticism about Jeff Bergosh for not really having a plan to put lifeguards out there, even though he called for it and the funding and staffing for all that. But look, it turns out in after the fact that having them out there gives this collateral benefit. So, you know, give the credit in that regard. I have another question about this. We'll come back to you in just a second. Eric Gilmore is the Director of Public Safety in Escambia County. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling to NAS Pensacola, the back gate is backed up to the traffic light. So pack some extra time in for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Eric Gilmore, Director of Public Safety. Hey, what is the price tag on the Gulf Islands contract for the lifeguards? Do you know roughly?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I think we threw like $300,000, or they would put $300,000 in the PO account.
Okay.
And all we would do is if we put a lifeguard out there, then we would just submit their time card for payment to go file. I guess that PO is what we did.
Okay, so maybe $500,000 at most or somewhere in that vicinity, right? I mean, just ballpark
somewhere,
stuff.
If I had to estimate, somewhere in that vicinity.
So I have an idea, only because it happens to be top of mind for me right now. I don't know if this is within the statute or not, but what about TDC money? I mean, it's clearly tourism and safety related. I don't know if it's eligible under the statute, but that might be something you guys could look at to, you know, provide for that while it's not. I don't know, just a thought. It just occurs to me as we're talking.
No,
One of the things I wanted to talk with you about is EMS. I know you guys are offering a $10,000 bonus. You're trying to get more people to come in. You're doing a lot of things to try to. We've bought some apparatus. We're trying to figure out staffing. I have a completely different kind of question that I want to ask you. You and I've talked many times over the years about, you know, held calls, holding the wall at the hospitals, how, gosh, it's been a year now since we don't report held calls anymore, at least the report that I see. Here's my request, though. I know you guys are always trying to make improvements, and you're dealing with a wide variety of factors. We've talked about this many times. What I would like to see as a citizen is I'd like to see a report that says, okay, during these day parts, what was the average response time? And by average, I mean the midpoint one is the one I think would be the key, not necessarily the mean because that might have outliers built into it, but the midpoint average response time for, you know, EMS across the county. And then what was the longest response time for that time period? And just give me that data so that we can really see, well, are we out of line with national standards or are we in line with national standards? And then how does it improve over time? I know, you know, maybe you have to do it for deltas and echoes, like the high urgency calls. And that's fine, too, if that's what it is. Maybe just response time averages for deltas and echoes instead of all calls. But it seems like creating some baseline informational chart like that would help us know how bad is it and how much is it getting better. What do you think?
No, we can look into that. That's no problem. We got Chief Watts. We hired him back in the fall, and he's done some fantastic things, done some good things of upgrading our EMS system.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at in March. He's doing a differential shift, so everybody had to do a shift bid. So he's looking at trying to get more trucks on during the peak time, so it could influence those times. So we'd have to run with the new shift or the new schedule to see if we are hitting the mark and getting more trucks on during the higher peak hours. So he's doing additional mid shifts. So he's doing a lot of neat things. And like I said, we got to try something. If we just sit there and stagnate and expect a different result, that's what the definition of insanity, right? So
right.
He is doing some things, some shift changes, shift scheduling, to make sure we're trying to meet the peak demand. So, after we get some data under that, we're definitely going to be looking at that to see if we're meeting the mark now or getting better and improving. So, down the road, yes, we can absolutely do that.
Well, and that's, honestly, I want it as soon as possible because that would show us where we're at and then where we get to if we make improvements. You know, that would be the ideal. And honestly, I don't really care about the alphas and the bravos because the low acuity calls, if they have to wait an hour, that doesn't bother me. But the deltas and the echoes are the ones I really want to know about. And, you know, so if we can, because this would help you guys too, because I know a lot of times, like what you see on social media is, well, they're holding calls again. And you're like, well, that doesn't tell the whole story. Exactly. This would be a way to tell the accurate, significant story, I think, unless I'm missing something, in a way that would be able to respond to, well, yeah, we're holding calls, but they were alphas because here's the average response times for the D's and E's. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I can get with Chief Watts. We can have a discussion about that this morning.
Okay, awesome.
Absolutely. We can do that. So
excellent. Well, I keep thinking about how frustrating it is to have not great information and how can we make it more informative so that we can all as citizens have better confidence in the system and the improvements that are being made. Last thing I wanted to talk about with you was the cold weather shelters are open though, right? Just a quick note for people that might need to know that information.
Absolutely. They are open. So they'll be open during the duration of the cold weather event. So anybody needs a shelter, you know, Waterfront Mission, my father's been here, and I know I'm going to forget some of the other ones, but they're out there for sheltering while we're in this cold weather snap. Absolutely.
Today and tonight and today and all that. Okay, good.
Last
thing is, and we just don't talk about this enough, but what I think has been a raging success is the CORE program for remediating opioid addiction. Where are we at today?
So those guys have been knocking out of the park. They've been very aggressive. We have a small staff that does that, and unfortunately, we would love to take on more clients, but it takes so much to deal with somebody going through opioid crisis. So we, since 2023, April 2023 is when the inception of the program started. I believe, I can't remember the exact number, I know we're over 250 people that we have taken in our program and transitioned them into a better acuity to get them completely off their addiction. And that is a 87% success rate, which is phenomenal for
That's
the national
amazing.
Average.
Yeah.
So those men and women in the CORE program are doing a phenomenal job. The hospitals are doing a good job helping us out, identifying people and getting them signed up in the program. And then our transitional partner, you know, Community Health in Northwest Florida, those guys do a great job of after we get done with the initial initiation into the program and then transitioning to them for long-term care. Have done a good job to keep them off the addiction so that we don't have a repeat or a relapse. Now, we do have those onesie or twosies. We get relapses or somebody falls out of the program and we can't find them. That does happen, unfortunately. But the staff we have is very aggressive in trying to find them and find out what's going on and make sure that they get back into the program. Or, you know, sometimes they just get out of it and they don't want the help. But you got to want the help first to be successful.
No, so, I think it's a great success program. Yeah, getting somebody who calls you for an overdose, you put them on a truck, take them to a hospital, and then try to get them off drugs entirely. If you got 85%, I mean, if you had a 10% success rate and you got 10 people or 20 people or 30 people to stop using opioids and stop putting stress on the EMS system and harming themselves,
yeah.
I mean, it'd be great. But to have, you know, approaching 200 is amazing, a fantastic program. And I look forward to seeing other communities adopt the same program.
Absolutely. So we're working with some of the other counties in the Panhandle. Walton County's been over to see how we do our program, and several of the counties out of South Florida, because we've had such a good success rate. So it's those guys, those men and women in that program are very compassionate, very wanting to make a difference in the community, and you've got to have that, and we do have that. So we're very fortunate to start that core program and get that going.
Yeah, and also it's a chance for, because so much of the time in public safety, it's respond to the crisis. This is actually to solve the problem. And, God, I love that for the folks who are working on it, that they get that kind of real, you know, moral civic success kind of feeling. Eric Gilmore is the director of public safety in Escambia County. He and I both talk fast, and when we're together, we accelerate. Eric, as always, thank you for the time, and thank you for what you're doing. Please pass along to your folks how much we appreciate everything they do. We'll talk to you again soon.
I will absolutely do that, Andrew. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, sir.
You bet. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. We've got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are actually looking. Never mind. We just had one pop up at Marcus Point Boulevard and Rambler Drive with a roadblock. So I misspoke. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. 98, seeing some backups. As east of the Navarre Beach Bridge going eastbound. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
During tax season, your personal info travels to a lot of places you can't control. Between payroll, your home office, your tax preparer, and the IRS, if your W-2 gets exposed, that's just the ticket for identity thieves. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Don't let identity thieves take you for a ride. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
What's so funny, Pee-wee?
Ooh, ooh.
Good morning, 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
An appeals court has ruled President Trump cannot end birthright citizenship for now. The U.S. Constitution says anybody born in the United States becomes a U.S. citizen, an amendment Trump has been trying to overthrow with an executive order. When a Seattle judge banned that executive order, the Department of Justice filed an emergency request to lift the ban and end birthright citizenship. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, and, you know, this is no surprise at all. This is exactly the right process that you go through because the law, as far as it's been established, is, in fact, what we currently do, which is anybody who, you know, anybody who's delivered on American soil becomes an American citizen. The question that he's asking the Supreme Court ultimately to answer is that the correct full interpretation of the 14th Amendment? And that'll take the Supreme Court to decide. Thanks, Steve. Listen.